thank Dr. Maxine for inviting me. It's good to be here again. I have a question for you. How many of you have been coming here, have come here at least five times? Good. How many have been coming at least 6 months? 2 years? 5 years or more? Wow, okay. Or more, I said. So I can assume, it's safe to assume, that we all see a value in this teaching, yes?
Yes.
Well, now I want to ask you another question, if you're willing to share. What is the value that you see in this teaching? What brings you back week after week, month after month, year after year?
The truth.
The truth.
Love.
And friends.
Community.
Change.
Learning how to trust the truth. Wow.
Inspiration.
Recognizing our own divinity.
Wow. Thanks. So we do see a value. We all have a value that we see, and you probably agree with a lot of the other things that were shared, even if you didn't express that. The common reaction to discovering this teaching and seeing the value that it is in our life is that we want to share it, right? We want to share it. You ever feel that way? Yeah. It's a gift. This teaching is a real gift that we have, and we want to share it. Now, about giving a gift, there are people who, I'm sure you have some in your life, who really know how to give a gift. They really know what you like, or maybe even what you need, and they find the perfect gift for that. You ever have anybody like that in your life? Now, there are also some people who like to give what they like because they think you'll like it, or they think you should like it, or maybe you will like it. So we have this wonderful gift of science of mind, and it is a gift. We want to give it to the world. Sometimes we want to give it to the world because they need it. The world needs this. You ever said that? Have you ever said that? Yeah, the world needs this. And we want to give it because they need it. Now, the they that needs it could be your sister, your spouse, your neighbor, your coworker, your boss, your mother-in-law, the world. You know, they need it, and we want to give it to them. So if we share it with them, usually the first thing that we share, if they're open to hearing anything about it, usually the first thing we share is, you know, our thoughts create our experience, right? That's the basic thing that we can share, that our thoughts create our experience. We have kind of a slogan in this teaching, change your thinking, what?
Change
your life. Yep. Oh, you're so well instructed. Now, the best way, so we want to share that with them, but the best way to share this teaching and this wonderful gift that it is, and in my opinion, the only way, is by using it ourselves. Now, that's a little contrary to a gift. You don't use it yourself to give a gift away. But in this case, the gift is given mostly and mainly and really only by using it ourselves. We need to practice it rather than talk about it, hence the word practitioner. You know, there are licensed practitioners, but everybody who uses this teaching is a practitioner. They're practicing it rather than just talking about it. It reminds me of Eliza Doolittle. Don't talk words. Show me, right? Show me. Tell me. We want, you know, if there's such a value in our, if this is such a value to us, then it needs to show up. It will show up so that somebody else will say, I'll have what she's having, right? It shows up like that. We need to practice it. Holmes says the practitioner treats his own consciousness or her own consciousness for the client. The practitioner treats his or her own consciousness for the client. What does that mean? The one doing the treatment, the one knowing the truth, is the one who needs to be convinced of the truth. The one speaking the truth is the one who needs to be convinced of the truth, even though they might be doing it for somebody else, all right? Whatever the situation is that they're treating about, whether it would be for physical health, prosperity, harmony in a relationship, whatever, whatever. They're convincing themselves of the truth because When that person, that practitioner, is convinced of the truth, then there's that something that we call law. You've heard that word, law. It's just simply that creative force that responds to that person's conviction, and then the demonstration, we talked about demonstration just a few minutes ago, shows up in the life of the person for whom they spoke the truth. The law is responding to the practitioner's conviction about it, and because the person is talking about someone else, presumably if they're doing it for somebody else, then it shows up in that other person's life. And that's why those of you who go to a practitioner, hopefully it's most of you or all of you, go to a practitioner, that's why you do it. Because their consciousness, their conviction of the truth is going to affect you because they're speaking the truth for you. Somebody's doing slides? Yes? Okay, we have the first slide. There we go. Life is what consciousness makes it. This is a great realization. Experience may appear to disclaim this fact, but the principle involved is an immutable one and cannot be shaken any more than the integrity of the universe can be violated. Life is what consciousness makes it. Notice that it says it's a principle, not a theory. It's a principle. A principle is just the way something is. 2 plus 2 is 4. It's a principle. Whether you agree with it or not, or you like it or not, or you care about it or not, doesn't matter. It just is. And it isn't something that somebody made up or decided it should be that way. They discovered that it is that way, a principle. Life is what consciousness makes it. Now, if you've been around here 5 times or 2 months or 6 years or whatever we said it was, then you've heard the word consciousness thrown around a lot. Yes? Are you tired of hearing it? Good. Well, in our textbook, consciousness is used 173 times. Now, I didn't count them, but I have a concordance which lists the terms that are used in the textbook. 173 times consciousness is used, so it must be pretty important. So if life is what consciousness makes it, then we certainly want the consciousness to be what we would like life to be, yes? So sometimes we need to change the consciousness, you think? Okay, we have another slide. A change of consciousness does not come by simply willing or wishing. Oh, heck. It is not easy to hold the mental attention to an ideal while a human experience is discordant, but it is possible, just like kindness, it is possible. Knowing the truth is not a process of self-hypnosis, but one of gradual unfoldment of the inner self. I think you would agree that a change of consciousness is not easy. Do I hear an amen? It's not like, you know, I think I'll change my hairstyle. I think I'll change my cell phone service. It's not that easy. It's not that simple. It's not a I'm just going to will that this happens, or I'm going to wish that this happens. It said, to hold the mental attention to an ideal, while the human experience is discordant, is not easy. Look what's going on in our country. Look what's going on in our world. And I can also assume that most of you here would want to feel that you want to serve our country or your community or the world, yes? I would think so. Well, anybody remember, and if you say yes to this, realize that you're showing your age. There's a show on TV now, but it's a remake of what used to be a long, long time ago called To Tell the Truth. Anybody remember that one? Yes. Where you had 3 people all claiming to be John Smith, right? And then you had 3 people on a panel that had to question them and see if they could figure out which one was the real John Smith. And the ones who were claiming to be that person had to tell the truth. They couldn't make stuff up. But they, you know, tried to pretend that they were really that person. And at the end of that, the panel would vote and say which one they thought was the real John Smith. And so then the moderator would say, will the real John Smith please stand up? Remember that? It was a great show. It's on again. I just noticed that. But anyway, it's a real one. So We want to serve our country. We want to serve our community. We want to serve the world. And we do that by telling the truth. Will the real religious scientists please tell the truth? If you've been around for a while, then you know about treatment. And you might know about what we call argumentative treatment, which sounds a little bit negative, doesn't it? Argumentative treatment. But the reason we call it that is because we argue with ourselves and with the facts that are staring us in the face, because there's this, you know how we have the still small voice, which is the voice of peace, which is the voice of truth, the voice of wisdom, the voice of love. Well, there's this not so small and not so still voice, I think of it as the evil twin of still small voice, that is shooting down our affirmations. Have you ever heard it? Oh, come on. Yeah. It says things like, oh, get real. Are you kidding? Not in this case, right? Have you ever heard that voice? I have. It's loud. It's insistent. So the argumentative treatment is to argue against that, argue that. But it's important to know that it's the argumentative treatment is not a battle. It feels like it sometimes. But it's actually a process of reasoning, getting ourselves to be convinced of whatever it is we're affirming. Holmes said this, and it's not on the screen. We should be able to look a discordant fact in the face and deny its reality, since we know its seeming reality is borrowed from illusion. Our standard is one of perfection. Okay, we should be able to look a discordant fact in the face and deny its reality, since it's illusion. Its reality is based on illusion. Now, if you say that in front of somebody who doesn't understand this teaching, you may get ridiculed. There's that get real again. You know, wake up and smell the stale coffee. So, who knows this phrase? Again, if you've been around for a while, Holmes uses this phrase. The end of that quote said, our standard is one of perfection. Holmes uses a phrase that he says is the premise for all, upon which the basis of all mental treatment is based, or mental work is based. And that is three things: perfect God, perfect something else, and perfect something else. Mary, you're not allowed to answer. Or Sarah. Perfect God, perfect, I heard it. Perfect man, perfect being. Man means human. Perfect God, perfect man, perfect being. Perfect God, perfect me, perfect living and being. That's the standard. The source is perfect, so whatever comes from the source must also be perfect. Here's another quote, which is, again, not on the screen. While it is true that wrong or negative conditions exist, while it's true that negative or wrong conditions exist, they could not remain unless there were someone to experience them. It's kind of like if the tree falls in the forest and you're not there, how do you know it fell? Right? Or, do you ever sleep through a thunderstorm? And the next day somebody says, how about that storm last night? What storm? As far as you're concerned, there was no storm. Or maybe, you know, you slept through it and you wake up the next day and there's the sun shining and what's with the clock, you know? Why is the clock off? As far as you're concerned, there was no thunderstorm. All right? The consciousness. And so Holmes says, change the consciousness and the false condition will change. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But then we said a little while ago, it's not easy to change the consciousness. It's not wishing and willing. It's not like, oh, I think I'll change my consciousness today. It's a gradual unfoldment of the inner self. So, how do we apply this to what's going in our country right now, or our world? There's all this violence, there's all this hate, there's terrorism, there's bigotry, there's chaos. We want to do something about it, right? We need to do something about it. Well, we have. As far as the bigotry and the racism and all that, we've done things about that. First of all, we had the Emancipation Proclamation, and then a little while later, 100 years later, you know, we had the Civil Rights Act. We had the Nuremberg trials, where we punished Nazi crimes, yet there's still an awful lot of prejudice and hate, would you say? Yes, there certainly is. It reminds me of something that Jesus said one time. He said, when an unclean spirit leaves a man, it wanders around looking for a place to rest, and finding none, it comes back to the house where it left, but it finds it swept and garnished. So it goes out and finds seven more spirits more wicked than itself, and they all come back to the house. And the worst, the first state, the first state of that man, the last state of the man is worse than the first. Okay, he's worse off than even before. What in the world does that have to do with us? Well, we've done all these outer things. We've swept and garnished. We've done the outer things, and they're good. We've made laws. We've executed or imprisoned criminals. You know, got rid of Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein's gone, Timothy McVeigh, Charles Manson. But it feels like we have even more evil spirits than before. But the evil spirits are not people, although they show up as them. The evil spirits are the belief that there are evil people, that certain people are inferior and others are superior, that different is threatening. The consciousness of the human race has believed this for eons, and it still does. Holmes said this, evil will disappear when we no longer indulge in it. Well, no kidding. Seems like a no-brainer. Evil will disappear when we no longer indulge in it. But did you know that indulging in it doesn't mean doing some of the things that we've seen on the news? Indulging in it is believing in it. That's indulging in evil. And what's happening in our country right now, all the bigotry, all the racism, all the hate, is fear. It's fear that something's being taken away. Our American culture is being taken away. Our white Anglo-Saxon Protestant culture is being taken away. Our familiar way of life is threatened with all these other religions and these different lifestyles. It's being taken away. And so there's a desperate need to fight it and destroy it in order to protect what's being threatened. Now you're sitting there thinking, well, wait, I'm not thinking that way. I don't feel that way about things. And even if I work on my own consciousness, I can't help the way somebody else thinks. Right? Here's an experiment. Next time you listen to the news or watch the news or read the news or however you get your news, notice how you feel and what you're thinking. Because there's a clue to what you're believing and what needs to be corrected. Because unless we're at perfect peace with everything, all is well. And I don't say that to be, ridiculing, but unless we are absolutely at perfect peace with everything all the time, then we've got work to do in consciousness. And this is not about blaming ourselves. We all have work to do in consciousness. Of course you're not a racist, you're not a bigot, but how do you feel about the ones who behave that way? How do you feel about the KKK? How do you feel about white nationalists or neo-Nazis? About somebody who will drive a van into a group of people? Do you find yourself talking about what's wrong with our government and our political leaders and our elected officials? How do you feel about those who have opposite political or social views than yours? What are your judgments about people in your family who don't think the way you do? You come here and everybody talks kind of the same way for the most part, but then you go home and maybe they think you're a little bit off, a little bit wifty. What are your judgments about them? Whatever we think and feel about what's going on out there, and out there could be as far as across the dining room table, whatever we feel and think about what's going on out there is a clue to what's going on in here. That's a little unsettling, a little uncomfortable, but that's the truth. That's the way it works. Whether we like it or not, the world is our mirror. Both individually and collectively, the world is our mirror. And there's a lot of stormy thinking going on. No coincidence that we've had more and more violent storms. Yes, there's climate change, of course. But let's back it up. Yes, we can see the things that we're doing outwardly that cause climate change, but I wonder what's going on in consciousness that's causing it and all these violent storms. Psychologists say that there are four adjustments that need to be made with the self, with the family, with society, and with the world. And they also say that the first adjustment needs to be, guess where? With the self. What do you know? That's what we say in this teaching. It begins within our own consciousness. Everything works from the inside out. Am I safe in assuming that you would like to be a healing presence or a healing power in the community, in the country, in the world? Am I safe to assume that? I thought so, yes. We have another slide. Healing power is a consciousness of the unity of all life and the spiritual nature of all being. The unity of all life and the spiritual nature of all being. There's human nature, yes, there is, which is nonetheless part of spiritual nature, which goes back to what you just saw a minute ago, perfect God, perfect man, perfect being, perfect source, perfect creation. Now, so the work needs to be done in consciousness, right? But what we do in consciousness is we transcend, we don't contradict. Now, yes, we do argue, as I said a few minutes ago, we do argue with ourselves to reason why the negative isn't the truth, to argue that it doesn't have power because there's only one power and it's good. We do that argument, but then we use the truth to transcend the appearance. Here's a good example. Gravity is a physical reality. It's a physical law, right? But then we have airplanes weighing tons that lift, you know, anything that's heavier than air drops. That's gravity. But there's the airplane with all those people and all their baggage and all that lifting above it. The law of aerodynamics transcends the law of gravity. It doesn't contradict it. It doesn't say that's not true. Gravity's not true. It's wrong. But it does transcend it. And that's what we do with the truth. We don't pretend, you know, we're looking the discordant fact in the face. We're saying it's an illusion, but we're not pretending it's not there. We're transcending. And last night it came to me, I said, don't pretend, just transcend. How do you like that? So we have a gift in this teaching. We really do. We have a gift, and it's sorely needed in our world. Yes, the world needs this. I'm sure you agree with that. But the way to give that gift is to use it ourselves. Seems backwards. We have to use it ourselves. We have to use it on ourselves. The Master Teacher Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, you know the rest of it, will draw all men to myself. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. What's that mean? When my consciousness is healed of whatever those false beliefs are, whatever seems to stand in the face of the truth, I raise the level of the collective consciousness. We're in this together, folks. We're in this together. We are together in consciousness. What I do in my consciousness affects what someone else experiences. We can see it negatively. You know, you talk about what happens in a crowd and all the anger and all the chaos and all that. It's so contagious. Well, so is the truth. So is the truth. So if we want to be that healing presence and that power, we want to share this wonderful teaching. How many want to share this wonderful teaching? Yeah. Oh, only three hands. We have to be willing to acknowledge our part. And again, it's not about blame. We have to acknowledge our part in what's going on. Our own fear, our own judgment, our own belief in separation, however that shows up. It doesn't mean that you're going to go out, that it, you know, okay, I have this false belief. It doesn't mean that you go out and drive a car into a group of people. No. But what about in your own personal life? Like I said, looking across the dining room table or across the street in your neighborhood, we have to look within and see how our own participation is part of all of this. If we want to rid the world of these unclean spirits that Jesus was talking about, hate, bigotry, violence, belief in separation, that have been wandering around for so long, we have to make sure they don't have a place to hang out. You know, we might sweep and garnish, but we have to go deeper than that within so that they have no place to hang out. Remember that when false conditions exist, they can't remain what? Unless there's somewhere for them, for someone to experience them. So we don't want to be that someone. Don't be that someone where those beliefs can hang out. I have a phrase that I use sometimes when I find myself getting annoyed or hurt or judgmental or critical or all that nasty stuff. I say, there's no room in my consciousness for resentment. There's no room in my consciousness for judgment, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, because my consciousness is filled with truth, love, peace, etc. So clear out your own consciousness. Clear it out so there's no room for the fear or the blame or the belief in separation. So it can be that clear channel to perceive the truth, the unity of all life, and the spiritual nature of all being. And you might even add an S on the end of beings. The spiritual nature of all beings, because there is that spiritual nature in all beings. Dear young Anne Frank, at the age of 13, said, despite everything, just living in this room with all these people for over a year, not knowing if today you're going to get taken off to the concentration camps, despite everything, I believe that people are really good at heart. So will the real religious scientists please stand up and tell the truth to yourself? Convince yourself that there's a power infinitely greater than every and any appearance. And it's right in the midst of that. It's transcending that. It's hidden underneath it. There is that peace. There is that harmony and order and love, because it is reality with a capital R, hidden underneath it. That's the gift that we have to give. That's how we serve. Now, we can serve outward. I'm turning away, but it's already here. We serve outwardly. We can do those outer things. Whatever you feel called to do on the outer level, that's wonderful. There's a lot of people doing that, and that's good. But we have something unique. We have a unique gift to give. When we know the truth, it not only sets us free, but it lifts everybody else around us, because we're in this one mind. I'll bet most of you know the name Louise Hay. Did you know that she made her transition just a few days ago? Religious science minister who really put this teaching on the map. She has a wonderful book, You Can Heal Your Life. Many of you probably have it, and you probably pull it out when you have some condition. You want to find out what's the mental cause behind it? Yes. Well, at the end of every chapter, she has a short treatment, and it always ends with, anybody know what the last sentence is on every one of her treatments at the end of the chapter? All is well in my world. All is well in my world. And I don't think she meant her own little world. I know she meant the world. So, whoever is willing, will the real religious scientist please stand up? I mean it. And will you please stand up and tell the truth? What's the truth? All is well in our world. Good. Say it again.
All is well in our world.
Now go home and convince yourself of that, especially when the news is on. Convince yourself that all is well, because it's the truth, and so it is. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We love having such a special means of connecting with you and trust you have enjoyed this message. If you have benefited from and been uplifted by these ideas and would like to learn more about our spiritual community, please go to our website at cslphilly.com. And if you wish to express your gratitude, simply click on the donate button to experience the joy of conscious giving. Your generous support makes it possible to share these messages of inspiration with all the world. Please share this message with anyone you feel might benefit and encourage them to subscribe to our podcast by searching GPCSL on your favorite podcasting application. Again, thank you for joining me and the Greater Philadelphia Center for Spiritual Living Community as together we create a world that works for all.